The following special broadcast has been prepared with the cooperation of the Milwaukee Sentinel.
William Randolph Hearst. Born April 29th, 1863, died August 14th, 1951. To tell the story of William Randolph Hearst, we must begin with his sagacious father, George Hearst, and his mother, Mrs. Phoebe Apperson Hearst, whose good deeds made her the greatest and best-loved woman in the history of California. We must go back also to the simplicity and the virility of the West. The seeds of Americanism were planted deep in both sides of the family. Mrs. Phoebe Hearst was descended from the Appersons of Virginia, who came to this country from England in 1620. George Hearst, a farm boy, studied geology in school, supported his mother and an invalid sister by working in the lead mines of Missouri. He married Phoebe Apperson, then teaching the village school in Steedman, Missouri. George Hearst entered politics, serving two terms in the United States Senate. It was in this period, in 1880, that he acquired the San Francisco Examiner, a morning paper, anemic, dull, and death-ridden. Mrs. Phoebe Hearst addressed herself to good works, to an extent that her name became a national synonym for gracious philanthropy. She established kindergartens, a school for children in Washington, D.C., but chiefly, she is remembered for her many gifts to the University of California. She founded the Parent Teachers Association. She was a regent of the university for more than 20 years. Her spiritual and financial aid to education and human welfare cannot be told. And upon her death on April 13, 1919, she was acclaimed as one of the truly great women of California and of this nation. Such was the background of William Randolph Hearst. A background of integrity and purpose, honesty of mind, of work as a means of emotional satisfaction, of simplicity and vigor. At college, William Randolph Hearst became business manager of the Harvard Lampoon. In 2 years, he had increased the magazine's circulation, lifted out of a deficit, and established it firmly in the black. On one of his vacations, he worked as a cub reporter on Joseph Pulitzer's New York World, and that settled it. He was going to be a newspaper man. When his father asked him what he wanted for his future, he said he wanted the San Francisco Examiner. Senator Hearst was aghast. The newspaper was little more than junk. Its debts were high, and it was getting nowhere rapidly. The senator tried to get his son interested in mining. "No," said William. "Well, then, ranching." "No," said William. They argued back and forth, man to man, and finally the senator yielded and turned over to his son, the feeble Examiner. It was not to be feeble long. The masthead of the issue of March 4, 1887, carried the name of the new proprietor, William Randolph Hearst, then 23 years of age. And this was the beginning of an organization that grew to 23,000 employees and an annual payroll in later years of over $100 million. This was the beginning also of modern journalism, for this tall, blonde young man with a calm voice was destined to shake the entire newspaper profession out of lethargy and habit. He was to shake it so thoroughly that it would never be the same again. It is not too much to say that modern journalism, with its makeup, its features, its constant quest for quicker, more far-reaching and better ways to get the news and get it right, began the day the blonde young man walked into the rickety offices of the Examiner, took off his coat, rolled up his sleeves, and went to work. Circulation soared. It nearly doubled in 1 year. Mr. Hearst surrounded himself with the ablest writers and artists he could find, and he paid well for talent. Throughout the years, he continued to impress upon his editors that competence is a high-priced commodity. And this is a statement on the death of William Randolph Hearst, issued today by Richard E. Berlin, president of the Hearst Corporation. The passing of William Randolph Hearst marks the end of a period in American journalism that was studded with such other great figures as James Gordon Bennett, Horace Greeley, Charles Dana, Joseph Pulitzer, and Adolph Oakes. It was a period of personal journalism rather than impersonal direction of newspapers. He took great pride in training his top executives in a most painstaking manner so that he could rely on them to carry on after his death with an uninterrupted continuity the policies and ideals for which he fought throughout his life. Such a man as he, who became a legend within his lifetime, we shall not see again. Only he withstood a regimentation and socialization which overwhelmed and obliterated so many of his able and powerful contemporaries, until he remained the sole surviving giant tree where once had been a forest of titanic men. He will be best remembered as a militant patriot and prophetic analyst of public affairs. He lived to see the progressive policies for which he thundered become law and custom. He anticipated and battled against foreign entanglements which threatened the peace and the prosperity of these United States. He was in the forefront of social reforms and human benefits when he was branded as a renegade to his station in life, a traitor to entrenched greed and selfishness. He founded and fought through to tremendous proportions many and widely varied enterprises on a scope probably beyond that of any other person. Yet, he was a worshipful devotee of art and architecture, beauty and fine works of all the ages. He lived in the imperial manner. He was a lavish host, but he himself abhorred excesses. He never drank nor smoked. His capacity for work was unique. His knowledge of his vast affairs was keen and comprehensive, and while he could delegate authority and wisely choose his lieutenants, he was always and in all ways the chief. To him, money as such meant nothing. He saw it only as the means to engage the most able men and to forward his eager plans for improving his products, to advance the causes and policies which were his paramount motivations. Henry S. Mackey, Jr., personal counsel for William Randolph Hearst, said, as will be shown by his last will and testament when it is filed for probate, he leaves the bulk of his estate for the benefit of his fellow Americans, for charitable, religious, educational, literary, scientific, and public purposes. And while William Randolph Hearst defied the mighty for what he thought was right in civic, national, and world affairs, he never ceased crusading against cruelty and ingratitude. His campaigns on behalf of children, men who had served their country, even animals, he kept alive. To his all-embracing reverence of religions and his ready aid to the good works sponsored by all faiths and creeds, he remained forever faithful. His zeal for sounder education and better schools was tireless. His courage was classic. He was no creature of consistency. He changed his opinions with conditions, and he fought each fight according to his lights, whether he antagonized a president or a continent or a hoodlum. Often his views were welcomed by the millions. At other times he carried on against enormous opposition, frequently to see public sentiment converted until those who had stood out against him were claiming causes he had promulgated when they were denouncing him. Few Americans were so great so long. He achieved eminence at an early age and increased his stature throughout a career that embraced more than 60 active years. His type of publication was pilloried in the 1890s, was stigmatized as yellow and demagogic, at different stages belittled as the output of a socialist, a populist, an isolationist, and a fascist. But it grew and thrived in popularity and outlived many rivals who derided him. He did not fear to lead his readers, to head the parade, and he once said, "Whatever right can be achieved through the irresistible power of awakened and informed public opinion. Our object, therefore, is not to inquire whether a thing can be done, but whether it ought to be done, and if it ought to be done, to so exert the forces of publicity that public opinion will compel it to be done. He early fought monopolies, the trusts. He exposed dishonesty in public office. He supported labor unions, direct elections of United States senators, women's suffrage, municipal ownership of essential public works, referendum and recall. He attacked racial and religious prejudices. His drive for national preparedness, going back to the development of the Panama Canal, still echoes in his ceaseless hammering for universal military training. He backed many a promising candidate whom he assailed when he found him unworthy. He was never a party man, though many times he supported parties and even organized his own. Few men have been so right so often, and yet so far ahead of acceptance as to be regarded as so wrong. In 1898, William Randolph Hearst fought for a powerful protective navy. As long ago as 1910, he was shouting for military air power. Early in this century, he was exposing bucket shops and proposing such regulations as developed into SEC. Perhaps the outstanding insistence of Hearst's foresight as a protector of this republic was his early and constant warning against the yellow peril, the hostile plans and the intentions of Japan against us. It took Pearl Harbor and our most costly war to prove that he was the sentinel far in the forefront when men elected and appointed to anticipate such dangers were blind or asleep. William Randolph Hearst was a working newspaper man. He knew everything that all his intensely trained specialists knew and more. His top executives heard and addressed him with respect bordering on awe. His uncanny judgment on news, on men, on features, on the affairs of all mankind was quick and sure and usually wise. He seldom wrote for his own publications, but he wrote everything to which his name was signed. Had he found a ghostwriter who could write so well, he would have hired him to do it under his own name. His status as a historic figure is yet to be appraised. His works will live long after him. The men he trained and elevated will dedicate their lives to carrying on in his spirit. He was a brilliant organizer and realized that he was mortal. But this is certain. The man whom only bitter reactionaries called reactionary will go into the story of our country as a great, outstanding liberal. He can never be forgotten for the homely slogan which he chose for one of his enduring campaigns. I am an American. He would have wished no more eloquent epitaph. Statesmen, publishers, and leaders in all walks of life from many nations paid tribute to William Randolph Hearst as one of the world's greatest journalists. President Truman, in a statement issued at the White House by Presidential Secretary Joseph Short, immediately expressed his sympathy for the Hearst family. Lord Beaverbrook, prominent British publisher, called Mr. Hearst one of the greatest American figures of the age. General Douglas MacArthur said, "I have been shocked and deeply grieved to learn of the death of Mr. Hearst. His voice has for so long been a mighty one in defense of America's freedoms that his loss is indeed national." Elder statesman Bernard M. Baruch, a friend of long standing of the publisher, "I am very shocked. Mr. William Randolph Hearst was unquestionably one of the greatest journalists in America and the world." Winston Churchill, wartime British Prime Minister, "I regret hearing of the death of such a remarkable American whom I had the pleasure of knowing." Francis Cardinal Spelman, "I mourn the death of a great American patriot, William Randolph Hearst, who fought battles on many fronts for all that America signifies, and who leaves to posterity traditions to continue the fight for freedom and justice that will encourage and inspire Americans for generations." Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, wired William Randolph Hearst, Jr. as follows: "My sincere sympathy to you in the loss of your father, news of whose death has just reached me over the radio. His life up to the moment of his passing was devoted to the interests of his country and of humanity. Senator Taft, Republican of Ohio. William Randolph Hearst was a great independent publisher and a great editor. Roy A. Roberts, president and general manager of the Kansas City Star, said, "Few men have left as big an impression upon American journalism as William Randolph Hearst. He was a great individualist who thought big and then carried his convictions into action. Mass circulations of today flourish today in large measure from innovations W.R. Hearst created decades ago. A controversial figure in public life for generations, the Hearst who died at close to 90 had not swerved or deviated from the principles and policies of the Hearst of 50 years ago. The death of William Randolph Hearst, publisher of the Milwaukee Sentinel and other newspapers, drew expressions of condolence for his passing and tributes to his greatness from Milwaukee and Wisconsin officials. Jerome E. Host, Milwaukee commander of the Department of Wisconsin of the American Legion, said, "The whole people of the United States have suffered an irreparable loss in the passing of William Randolph Hearst. His courageous stand for true Americanism, his sincere interest in the veteran and the veteran's problems, mark him as one of the really great Americans." Herbert Wilk, commander of the Wisconsin Department, Jewish War Veterans of the United States. "The Jewish War Veterans of the United States mourn the passing of William Randolph Hearst, the great American, editor, publisher, and humanitarian. With his death, the Jewish War Veterans have lost a true friend." Frank J. Ott, Wisconsin Department Commander, Catholic War Veterans. "The veterans of America have suffered a great loss in the death of William Randolph Hearst. He has shown that he was truly a great American and one who always believed in Americanism and its ideals." And the clergymen of all faiths expressed their sorrow. Bishop B.F.P. Ivins of the Episcopal Church, of which Mr. Hearst was a member. "He was a great man. He was a great American. I think that perhaps he did more to mold American thinking than any other person of his generation." Father Edward J. O'Donnell, Marquette University president. "The death of William Randolph Hearst takes from the world scene a man who was typical in many ways of the opportunities which America presents. Although born to wealth, he worked, as few others did, to achieve greatness in his own right. How well he succeeded, only the historians of our age will be able to tell." The Reverend E. I. Murky. "As a Lutheran and a firm believer in the right of private judgment for every individual, I sincerely hope that the fearless editorial policies of the forceful publisher William Randolph Hearst will be continued in his newspapers." And the Reverend John C. Geiser. "He was a man of great ideas and principles, hence he was a man of great achievements. You do not have to agree with all his aims and objectives to appreciate and respect him for his program of stimulating and challenging undertakings." William Randolph Hearst's story has been told. And yet, it can never come to a conclusion, for the spirit of William Randolph Hearst, the principles to which he dedicated his life, will continue to live on in this pledge. To the publishers and editors of all Hearst newspapers, Los Angeles, August 14th, 1951. "It is with profound sorrow that I and my brothers apprise you of the passing of our beloved father, William Randolph Hearst. In this sad announcement, I am joined by our mother, Millicent Wilson Hearst. Will you please convey to the readers of the Hearst newspapers our pledge to continue to operate our father's publications as he guided us, and our determination to carry on in the tradition of his life, which was dedicated to the service of America and the best interests of the American people. William Randolph Hearst, Jr." Thank you.
The broadcast you have been listening to was prepared through the cooperation of the editorial rooms of the Milwaukee Sentinel. The complete story and facts concerning the life and accomplishments of William Randolph Hearst, as well as the nationwide tributes paid to this great American, will be found in the Wednesday edition of the Milwaukee Sentinel. This is WISN, WISN-FM, Milwaukee.